Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello, and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Annika Smith, broadcasting with the Center for Science and Culture here in Seattle. And today, I'm pleased to have with me in the studio, Casey Luskin. Casey, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. I had to walk all the way down the hall to get here.
We do appreciate that exercise. Now, Casey, we're going to talk a little bit about a recent dust-up that happened with one of our writers, actually, at Evolution News and Views, our news site, Jonathan M., and P.Z. Myers, who is notorious as kind of an angry atheist, although he looks like he should have a more cuddly demeanor. Casey, can you tell us, how did this debate get started? What initiated this whole dust-up?
Well, back in June, P.Z. Myers gave a lecture before the Glasgow Skeptics in Glasgow, Scotland, on the evidence for evolution from embryology. Mm-hmm. One of our writers for Evolution News and Views, as you mentioned, Jonathan M., who at the time actually was still an undergraduate and just received his undergraduate degree in biology, he attended the event and actually came prepared with a number of questions to ask P.Z. Myers. Many of these questions pertain to evidence which historically has gone against what evolutionary biology has claimed about what we should find in embryological development, especially for vertebrates. And so Jonathan M. came and asked P.Z. Myers, okay, why do we see these patterns in embryological development where vertebrates start developing very differently rather than similarly? Why do we see patterns that really don't fit with this idea that midway through vertebrate development, embryos pass through this similar stage called the pharyngula? And that's where P.Z.'s infamous pharyngula blog gets its name. And Jonathan M. challenged a lot of these ideas, and do they really provide evidence for evolution? At this talk, P.Z. Myers was actually fairly rude to Jonathan M., and it even got worse once the conversation moved from the real world into the blogosphere, and P.Z. Myers was then able to let loose on his blog. There was some back and forth. Myself and David Klinghoffer decided to join in the fray, and we can talk more about why we decided to respond to P.Z., which is not something we would normally do. So this is basically what happened. There was this debate over evolution and embryology.
And the dynamic we have here, just to be clear, we're talking about an undergrad student standing up in the middle of a skeptics meeting to P.Z. Myers, who is a professor of biology. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it almost seems like there might have been a little bit of bullying going on.
I definitely think so, and you framed it very well, Annika. Jonathan M., as we said, he was an undergraduate at the time.
Right.
He's finishing up his degree in biology, attending a lecture at a skeptics event. P.Z. Myers is the speaker. He's a professor of biology at the University of Minnesota Morris at a state university. And he also owns one of the most popular blogs on atheism and evolution on the internet. And Jonathan M., to give him some credit, I mean, he was bold and direct in his questions, but he was certainly civil. He didn't say anything impolite towards P.Z. Myers. He simply asked the questions. And instead, what he received back was, you said bullying is the right way to put it. And actually, later on his blog, P.Z. Myers said, I was not rude enough. And he told Jonathan M. that he should have been ashamed to be responsible for this bull, and you can complete the word there.
Right.
Apparently, it wasn't rude enough for P.Z. to have said things to Jonathan M. like that he's a quote-unquote flaming moron or an idiot, or that he's guilty of ignorance, or that he's completely uneducable, doesn't know word one about basic biological concepts. He actually said to Jonathan M. in person at the event, he said, you should be ashamed. This is disgraceful. But really, what are we talking about here? We're talking about an undergraduate student who is simply asking questions of a biology professor in a respectful fashion. And this is the way that he's treated.
Right, which makes you have to wonder, what were those questions and why did they receive such an extreme reaction from P.Z.? So can you tell us, like, what is this debate over evolution and embryology?
P.Z. Myers uses this kind of incendiary rhetoric, whether he's talking about embryology or not. But I think when we talk about P.Z. and embryology, we're talking about some issues that are very important to the formation of his own worldview. He named his blog Pharyngula. Pharyngula is obviously the supposed stage during vertebrate development, which he claims provides evidence for evolution. So if P.Z. Myers names his blog after this idea, it obviously is very near and dear to his heart. Even the New York Times, in an article in 2010, really attacked P.Z. for what they called his incendiary rhetoric or his Fox News-style tactics. You know, when the New York Times is accusing you of having incendiary rhetoric and your Fox News-style tactics, that's sort of the ultimate insult in their perspective. And so for them to turn against one of their own, a university biology professor who promotes evolution to the public, is really saying something. And this implies not just that something is amiss, but that something is radically distasteful.
Right, that his style is offending even their censors.
That's right, absolutely. That's right.
So let's get into this debate over evolution and embryology, the questions Jonathan M. had for P.Z. Myers that set him off. Now, what is this debate? Can you boil it down? Is it just the classic explanation we're given in the textbooks with Haeckel's embryos, that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny? Is it a little bit more than that?
P.Z. Myers thinks that the debate is over Haeckel's model of recapitulation, the idea that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, the notion that as vertebrate organisms develop, they sort of replay their evolutionary right. history. If you hear his talk that he gave, he made it very clear that biologists have known for many, many years that ontogeny does not recapitulate phylogeny, and that evolutionary biologists no longer believe this is the case, and he's right, and that's fine. The problem for PZ is that he tries to misconstrue our attacks on evolutionary embryology as if all we're attacking is Haeckel's model of embryology. So I think our point one that we make is that we are not simply arguing that modern evolutionary biology is based upon Haeckel's recapitulation theory. We recognize that biologists for many years have rejected recapitulation theory. Even though you still sometimes find recapitulation-like ideas in the textbooks,
right.
It is true that modern embryology no longer is based on this. So what is our point? Well, our point is that when you look at biology textbooks, they claim, and not just textbooks, but many leading evolutionists, they will say that in their earliest stages, vertebrate embryos are very similar, and that those similarities do provide evidence for their common ancestry. And so our point is that when you look at the actual ways that vertebrate embryos develop, they show many differences, and that in many cases, you'll find weird quirks of embryology, where supposedly homologous structures are produced by non-homologous developmental pathways, or you'll see homologous developmental pathways that are producing widely divergent or even non-homologous structures.
Right.
So there's this evidence that doesn't fit with Darwinian thinking in embryology. But there's a third point as well, because it's not entirely clear, and we can talk about this. P.Z. Myers sometimes recognizes that in their early stages, vertebrate embryos are different. But he will then go further and say, well, but they converge midway through development at this very similar stage called the pharyngular stage, and that this conserved stage shows that they share a common ancestry, and that we would not have this conserved similar stage were it not for the fact that they share this common ancestry.
And this is the hourglass model?
This is the hourglass yeah. model, where vertebrate embryos start off developing differently. They sort of converge on a similar stage midway through development, and then they diverge further. And we would say that in a certain sense, there is accuracy to that description of development. But the notion that there is this highly conserved pharyngular stage of vertebrate development has really come under attack by a number of leading embryologists over the last 10 or 15 years. And it's interesting because when we raise these papers that have been published challenging the idea of the pharyngular stage, P.Z. Myers just ignores us and accuses us of attacking Ernst Haeckel and then calls us all kinds of names. So that's sort of a sign. That's a sign that P.Z. does not have a good scientific rebuttal to our arguments, because he's misconstruing our arguments and ignoring our actual arguments.
Now, Casey, you actually have written about this for us at Evolution News and Views in a few pieces that discuss actual contradictions in P.Z. Myers' arguments, not just problems he has making them, but places where he has contradicted himself. Can you share a little bit more about that with us?
Yeah, this is one of the amusing things about this debate, is that I think Jonathan M. really forced P.Z. to make some important concessions over the true nature of vertebrate development. In the past, we've seen P.Z. make claims like the differences between early vertebrate embryos are only superficial. But yet, in response to Jonathan M., P.Z. said things like, variation can and does occur at every stage of development. Early and late stages can vary greatly. Well, that's a lot different than saying that the differences are only superficial. So what happened here is, I think P.Z. was put on the spot, and he acknowledged that there actually are these wide variations between early stages of vertebrate development. Another contradiction that I think was amusing is that Jonathan M. asked him, well, what does evolutionary biology actually predict about early vertebrate development? And P.Z. replied, it's kind of a very nice summary of, I think, the unpredictive power of Darwinian evolution. He says, evolutionary theory predicts differences as well as similarities. Well, that's fine, and maybe that's even true, but if that is true, obviously that doesn't make for a very compelling theory. What does evolution predict? Well, it predicts you're going to find whatever you
right.
find, basically. You're going to preserve whatever you preserve and change whatever you change. I don't think that makes for a very compelling and predictive theory. Finally, P.Z. Myers later changes his tune and says, well, actually, evolutionary biology does predict that you're going to find these similarities among vertebrates. So as soon as you start to raise the fact that there are differences between vertebrate embryos, P.Z. Myers says, well, evolutionary biology predicts both similarities and differences, he kind of puts evolution in an unfalsifiable position to save the theory. But then he goes back to his old tune that evolution really does predict these similarities, namely that the pharyngular stage is a conserved stage that is resistant to evolutionary change. Then we kind of came to our final point of this debate, which is that there are all of these evolutionary biologists who over the past 10 to 15 years have found that the evidence for the pharyngular stage is very weak. And they found that when you look at the actual ways that vertebrates develop, that there are differences in body size, body plan, growth patterns, and growth timing that are really difficult to reconcile with the idea of a phylogenetically conserved pharyngular stage. And this is essentially what some of the literature is saying. And again, when we raise these points, P.Z. Myers just ignores what we're saying and unfortunately calls us names and accuses us of raising the old ghost of Haeckel.
Right. So it sounds like P.Z. Myers has one model that he's very committed to, this hourglass-shaped model based on the pharyngular stage. What are the other models of embryological development, and are any of them better as suited as explanations? Do any of them not put evolution in quite the bind that PZ does?
I think that there are different models, and I think one of them does stand out. The first model is obviously the old Haeckel recapitulation model. Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. And everybody agrees that this model is flawed. ID proponents recognize that evolutionary biologists say that it's flawed. So this model is dead. Nobody believes it anymore. The next model I would call the funnel-like model. It's the one that claims that vertebrate embryos start off very similarly and that over time they diverge from one another. You can still see this model very widely promoted in biology textbooks as if it provides evidence for evolution. But this model also is flawed, and on a better day, P.Z. Myers will acknowledge that vertebrate embryos start off developing very differently and don't start off in a highly similar fashion.
Right.
Then we come to the model that P.Z. likes, the hourglass model. I wouldn't say this model is highly flawed. There are some general hourglass trends to vertebrate development, but there's also a lot of deviations. So this model is flawed because this claim that all vertebrates pass through this highly conserved pharyngular stage is really not supported by the data. And I think P.Z. Myers doesn't like that fact because he named his blog after the pharyngula.
Right.
So the model that I would say is the correct model would be what you might just call the reality model. We're not trying to force fit the embryological data to some evolutionary view. We're just letting the data speak for itself, and we're taking it as it is. And if there happen to be patterns there, fine, but we're not trying to force fit some evolutionary view upon the data. And I think that this is really the most consistent position, and it takes the ID motto to heart. Let's just follow the evidence where it leads and not try to force fit preconceptions on the data.
Right. Can you describe this? I mean, you've said how you get this model by letting the evidence speak for itself, but what does that look like?
This model accepts the fact that variation can and does occur between vertebrate embryos at every stage of development, both early and late stages, and to a significant state, middle stages as well. They all vary greatly. While vertebrate embryos do show some similarities during their purported pharyngular or phylotypic stage, differences in body plan, body size, growth patterns, growth timing do show wide variation, and so it's very difficult to reconcile with this phylogenetically conserved pharyngular stage.
So we have a funnel-like model. We have an hourglass model. What would this look like?
So I would say, Annika, that there may not be a particular shape. We're always trying to come up with some model or some pattern that fits some evolutionary preconception, and I would say maybe the data just isn't allowing us to do that. I mean, to be sure, there are similarities between vertebrates as they develop, and I would say many of these similarities might be the result of common design just as much as they might result from common descent. But we try to force these whole-scale patterns upon vertebrate development that isn't working very well, and I think the reality model is just letting the data speak for itself. Let's just follow the evidence where it leads.
Right. It's like you can't necessarily shove everything into the mold.
Something like that. Yeah that's right.
Well, this is really fascinating, Casey, and you alluded earlier in this podcast to the fact that we don't often engage P.Z. Myers on something like this, even when it is, this is obviously the scientific debate. Is he an opponent worth engaging, and why did you step into this battle?
Most of the time, he probably is not. And this is maybe my once every 5 years that I actually, you know, take a couple days and write some responses to P.Z. Myers. Why is he not worth engaging? Well, because for the most part, P.Z. Myers is just saying the same thing all over again. He's calling people names, misrepresenting our arguments. this particular episode stuck out to me because he was attacking an undergraduate student who was asking legitimate questions in a polite, respectful manner. And he responded back with just the most harsh kind of attack you could imagine, certainly not becoming of a biology professor. So I think that this particular debate is instructive in how leading exponents of evolution are treating dissenters, including in some cases just nice, friendly, average undergraduate students who have legitimate questions. So I think that this is very instructive. It's also revealing that he happens to have one of the most popular science blogs on the internet. Why is that? I think that in many ways, his style is attractive to people in the Darwin lobby. They like the incendiary rhetoric. They like the fact that he substitutes name-calling for scientific arguments.
Well, thank you, Casey. Thanks for joining us today for I Do the Future. This is Annika Smith with the Center for Science and Culture.
Thanks for having me on, Annika.
Thank you for being here, Casey. And for all of you out there, thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I Do the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.